Hey everyone, welcome to Stutter Talk for this Tips from the Pros Freezing Edition. Stutter Talk, changing how you think about stuttering one podcast at a time. I'd like to welcome back to the show a Stutter Talk advisor and very good friend, Dr. Robert Quiesel. How's it going today, Bob?
Okay, Peter. How are you?
I am great. So happy to be speaking to you again. Robert the Expert Quiesel, as he's been lovingly called by a Stutter Talk listener, is a professor of communication sciences and disorders at Western Illinois University, a person who stutters, a fellow of the American Speech Language Hearing Association, and a board-recognized fluency specialist. Today we're going to be speaking about freezing. Tips from the Pros is not speech therapy, is not instruction, and is not coaching. General comments about stuttering may not apply to any particular person who stutters. If you are looking for a professional to help you work on stuttering, two well-respected referral lists are the Stuttering Foundation, stutteringhelp.org, and board-recognized fluency specialists, stutteringspecialists.org. So, Bob, before we discuss freezing, what is it about stuttering that makes an idea like freezing helpful for so many?
I think actually something you and I have talked about, I think, on other Stutter Talk shows, the notion of when you think of stuttering as being, in essence, the loss of control of speech or the feeling of loss of control in speech, and I've said this many times and probably on this show, is that basically, everything that happens in stuttering, everything that we deal with in stuttering, comes from the notion of trying to deal with that feeling of loss of control. So all of the struggle, all of the avoidance, all of those things essentially come from that notion of when you lose control, not just of your speech, but of anything, but in this case, we're talking about loss of control of speech. When that happens, it's just not a very pleasant thing. And so therefore, you really don't want that to happen. And because when it happens in stuttering, it's an intermittent and typically sort of an unpredictable sort of a thing. What happens then is that your goal becomes one of, I don't want to be in that that moment of stuttering. I don't want that to happen. So therefore, the person who stutters either tries to avoid stuttering, or when they're in a moment of stuttering, they try to do anything in their power to get out of that moment of stuttering. When we talk about something like freezing, which essentially is staying in the moment, I think Dean Williams talked about it as staying in the moment. You're basically saying to the person, stay in that place that you don't want to be. And the analogy that I've used for many years is basically it's like saying to somebody who's in a sort of a panic situation, and the example I use is like you're in a burning house, and when you're in a burning house, your goal is to get out of that house. You know, that's the notion. I want to get out of here. I want to be somewhere safe. And essentially, when we're saying to the person who stutters, I want you to stay in the moment, it's like saying to the person in the burning house, you can get out of this burning house. But before you do, I want you to stay here in the house, and I want you to do an inventory of the furniture, what's on the walls, the carpeting. And once you've done that, you can then leave this burning house.
I love your burning house analogy. So what you're saying is this tool we're about to discuss, freezing, or this idea called freezing, is really in a response to that burning house aspect of stuttering.
Exactly, exactly.
So what is freezing, Bob?
Well, again, it's sort of holding on to that moment of stuttering. In other words, the thing that we're trying to get away from, and actually just that little block I had there, I was sort of in a moment there where I sort of froze and sort of held that moment for a second. But when you're in that moment, you hold on to that moment. So rather than trying to run from it, you stop, you analyze, okay, what's happening during this moment of stuttering? What am I, the way Dean Williams would have talked about it is what am I doing during this moment? But you basically do an inventory of your speech mechanism, if you will. Where am I tensing? What does this feel like? how am I fighting this moment of stuttering? And really what that does is at least two things. The first thing it does is it does help you to sort of understand stuttering differently. You actually are facing that moment, facing that thing that you have been trying to avoid for however many years you've been trying to struggle and avoid stuttering. But the second thing is that you find that when you stay in that moment, that what starts to happen is that feeling of panic you have during stuttering, that feeling of loss of control, I want to get out of here as soon as I can. When you actually stay in the moment and kind of hold on to the moment, you find that those feelings, the emotions that are associated with stuttering, tend then to go down because you're sort of facing that feared thing.
You know, this reminds me of what Woody Starkweather and one of his former students, Louise Height, would talk about as the disassociation with stuttering. The person who stutters would have that feeling of being in the clouds, not really in the moment. And what sounds like you're saying with freezing is it's really a way to get out of the clouds and to get your mind into the moment of stuttering so you can make changes. Is that correct?
Right. That's it. And I think that, as I say, I think that many people who have never had any speech therapy, when you say to them, well, tell me what you do when you stutter. Tell me what happens when you stutter. Their answer is typically something like, well, I stutter. And you say, well, what do you mean when you say that? And they don't really know beyond that because, again, they've never really thought about stuttering as something that is a series of behaviors that they do or things that are going on in speech. It's more like I'm talking along, this thing called stuttering comes along, it grabs me, it shakes me, and then when it's ready to let me go, it does, and then I'm able to move on in speech. During that period of time where the stuttering sort of has you, is grabbing you, and again, this probably differs for different people, but for many people who stutter, it is this sort of a blank feeling. You know, you're not focused on anything other than I want to get out of here, and that's why I use the example of being in a panic situation, like in a burning house, because I think that during that time, your mind races, you know, and therefore you can't really focus on the fact that what's the best way to get out of this burning house? You know, what's the best exit? By helping the person to realize that they actually can spend time in that moment, I think that it helps to diminish that kind of panicked feeling, that sort of blank feeling, if you will, that occurs during that moment of stuttering.
So let's try to put an example on the table. So yesterday at work, I was asking a colleague of mine to recommend some good restaurants in North Carolina. And she said, well, what type of food do you want? And I knew immediately I was going to either stutter on the word Thai food, or I guess that's two words, or do something to have to get out of it. So I'm anticipating stuttering on Thai food. What if that was you, how would you use freezing in that moment?
Well, I think again it would be the sort of a thing where if you thought that you were going to stutter on let's say Thai food, you could approach that word Thai. Okay, in other words, you could sort of start to say the word Thai. And then when you started to feel that loss of control begin to sort of rise, you would say, okay, rather than letting myself sort of panic during this moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to realize that there's going to be a pause before I say the word Thai. But during that pause, I'm not going to let my mind just sort of race, but I'm going to focus on, okay, what am I doing during this moment? And then when I sort of see, okay, what exactly is going on, you would probably then see, and again, you are somebody who's had speech therapy, so you have these quote tools that you can use, but you would see that, okay, I am tensing too much at some place. You know, for example, maybe I'm pushing my tongue up against the roof of my mouth, with too much force. So therefore you might sort of change it to sort of a light contact, if you will. And you might then, you know, during that moment say, okay, let me change this and say Thai food, something like that. And so then you're sort of using sort of a preparatory set kind of a thing. You know, you're sort of changing the nature of what you're doing, but you're sort of using that moment to sort of think about what you're doing and then be able to change the nature of your speech to then move on in speech.
And a preparatory set is when the speaker puts their articulators in the place they need to be to make the sound, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good way to define a preparatory set. Yeah.
So Bob, for someone who has never tried freezing before, could you give one tip or one suggestion for how they might do it?
Well, again, this is probably something that's best done under the guidance of an SLP. It's one of these things, you know, don't try this at home sort
okay.
of thing. But I would say that certainly if somebody wanted to sort of try the experience of freezing, if they've never done it before, you would want to do it in sort of a safe sort of an environment, I think, at first. So do it with a friend or a family member, something like that, somebody who sort of knows you and whatever. But the thing is that basically when you are in a moment of stuttering, just sort of stop. Stop during that moment. And this then would also involve having some knowledge of what you do when you talk or what talking involves, again, sort of that Dean Williams kind of stuff, you know. But you sort of stop during that moment and you then focus on what am I doing? Like, where am I feeling effort? Where am I feeling myself pushing? What's the nature of this stuttering moment that I'm finding myself in? And again, move it from that feeling of panic, that feeling of, oh my God, I'm stuck, you know, I got to get out of this moment, and focus it on, okay, what exactly is going on in my body that may be contributing to my inability to move forward in speech? And then after you've done that, then say, okay, what might I be able to change at this moment in time? So, for example, you know, I'm testing at the level of the vocal folds, let's say. You know, I'm trying to say the word, we can't use Thai as the example, but let's say I'm trying to say the word example. So I'm trying to say example, and I'm going to just be pausing here, but, and I can feel, okay, my vocal folds are very tight, my vocal folds are stuck. If I go, example, and just sort of ease that up a bit, maybe I can get things moving a bit. And therefore, I'm not stuck in the moment of stuttering, but in fact, I can make a change in that moment and perhaps get things moving again. And so it's not really normal fluency, certainly, but what I've done is I've made that moment of stuttering less severe by taking a second or two to kind of analyze what I'm doing and then changing what I'm doing to be able to move on.
Let's remind everyone, this is Stutter Talk Tips from the Pros, the Freezing Edition with Dr. Robert Quisel. Now, Bob, freezing sounds like a really neat thing to do, a very helpful it could be a very helpful and productive thing to do, but isn't it also really hard?
Oh yeah. many things. Again, you know, it can be hard to do because again, the thing that you're fighting against is this feeling of panic. And as I say, I think that what often happens is that during these moments of stuttering, I think that the more ingrained kind of reaction that we have is, you know, I want to get out of this moment of stuttering. And in many cases, I think freezing is almost like when somebody cancels. You know, when you cancel, you have to stop, go back, and say the word you stuttered on over again. In many ways, freezing is sort of like canceling in that it tends to make the stuttering more noticeable. In other words, that pause tends to sort of, well, why did you pause there? So if you're talking along and you come to a difficult word like I did right there, that pause kind of jumps out. The person notices that pause. But the notion there is that by doing something like that, again, what you're doing is you are using that pause to help to desensitize yourself to that feeling of panic. And you're also using that pause to do a quick inventory. I just did it right there. Inventory of what you're doing during that moment of stuttering. And again, if you're doing it properly, you're also changing during that moment as well. You're not just sitting there and saying, I want to wait for that stutter feeling to go away, but you're actually making some kind of a change in what you're doing. So you're trying to reduce tension during that moment. You're trying to change the amount of force you're using at some place in your speech mechanism to make it possible for you to move ahead in speech.
And I think this idea of freezing is probably inherent or occurs in other speech tools. Like when I first heard of a pullout, I remember reading about it in a Van Riper textbook and trying it. And I think what I liked about it so much was that it forced me to think about how I was speaking and how I was stuttering in a freezing-like way. And that really helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right, and actually, I think if you watch those Van Riper tapes, those old Van Riper tapes from like the 1970s, where he's working with Jeff, what you see is that much of what he does in those early sessions with Jeff is he has them sort of it isn't necessarily freezing in all cases, but much of what he's doing is like freezing, where he's having Jeff sort of hold on to those moments of stuttering. And then he's also moving on to having him change what he's doing as well. But that notion of, okay, what are you doing there? You know, and he's having Jeff sort of, learn more about how he stutters and he's having him stay with those moments of stuttering more and making Jeff more aware of what he's doing, yeah. At that time.
And those Stuttering Foundation classic tapes of Charles Van Riper, I think they're now all on one DVD, which is kind of amazing. So,
right.
So very last question. Do you have to use freezing every time you block or every time you stutter?
No, I don't think that you'd want to do that, because then you would end up probably having a lot of pauses in your speech that would sort of make the speech, almost stop flowing, if you will. But I think that there are times when freezing can be useful. I think that I often find even now when I'm teaching, for example, I'll be up in front of my class, 20 students, 40 students, depending on what class I'm teaching. And I'll just get to a point where I'm just saying a word, and it's like one of those words where I just kind of get stuck, And rather than sort of trying to rush through the word, I'll just sort of, okay, I'll start saying the word articulation. And I just use that little pause there to say, come on, Bob, you're kind of letting things get out of hand here. Let's just kind of take a second, kind of rein things in. And I kind of use that moment there to say, okay, why am I having trouble saying this word? And, again, I've been doing it now, enough years, certainly, probably more years than I want to think about, where it's not hard to do, but it still is sort of a tool or a technique or whatever you want to call it that I will often call on. Because again, it just helps me to continue to desensitize myself and probably also my students to the fact that I stutter.
Yeah, I know that you use freezing when you're on Stutter Talk. I know if people go back and hear your past shows, they can hear you stopping during a stutter.
Oh sure, right, exactly.
And now we can't see you thinking, but we should all rest assured that when you're using that pause, you're thinking about what you need to do next.
Right, exactly, yeah. Rather than sitting there going, oh crap, I'm stuttering. And again, part of it is sort of changing that thought process to, I'm stuck, I'm helpless, to, I'm stuck, yes, but why am I stuck? What can I do to try to change the nature of the moment that I'm in? And again, I think to understand that that those moments are going to happen. I mean, again, I've been trying to manage my stuttering for most of my life, and I've had moderate degrees of success, but there are times when I just get stuck. I mean, that's the way it is. And I can either do nothing or I can try to do something during those moments. And, one of the tools that I still try to use is freezing. And, it's just something that's sort of become part of the way that I manage my speech.
So let me end out with a very short story and you can comment on it. Years ago, I was at a stuttering conference and a spouse was there of a speech pathologist. And there was somebody who was stuttering a lot. And the spouse said, "I hope you don't mind, but I want to ask you, this is to the stutterer, what are you thinking when you get stuck in such a long stutter?" And the person who stutters responds, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just pushed through it somehow." And it sounds to me like freezing might be one way to sort of approach that "I don't know what happened" type of response to stuttering.
I think that is exactly right. And I just had a little one. Yeah, that's right on. Because if when you stutter, you say, "I don't know," then it's like, well, how then are you going to do anything differently? It's kind of like, I've used this example as well. If a student comes to you and says, "I didn't do well on your test," and you say to them, well, why did you not do well? And they say, I don't know. It's like, well, if you don't know why you didn't do well on my test, then I can't give you any ways to get ready for the next test. So you have to start asking questions. Well, how did you study? What did you study? You know, and that's kind of what we're doing here. It's like, well, I stuttered there. I was stuck. Well, what was going on when you were stuck? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then I can't tell you anything that you can start doing differently to try to make those moments of stuttering less severe. And again, part of this as well is that as you start to learn more about what goes on when you stutter, how do you stutter, then you start to learn things that you can do differently to make those moments, those stuck moments, less frequent and perhaps less severe as well.
Bob, thank you so much for joining us for leading us in Tips from the Pros, the Freezing Edition.
Okay, Peter.
Displays of a